You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets, because it's your pet. Health matters. Please welcome your Pet Doctor host, veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
The discovery of the fountain of youth and the cure for diseases that weaken and kill have flummoxed mankind for centuries. However, the answers may have been closer than we ever imagined. The elixir to health may literally lay within us, within unique, multi-potential elements of our bodies, our stem cells. When we hear the word stem cell, we often think of the controversy swirling around the cells of embryonic origin. But we all have stem cells within our bodies and within our pets' bodies. They can be harnessed to perform a plethora of amazing feats. Think you need to go to a specialist far from home for this type of care? You may not need to go any further than your primary care veterinarian's office. My guest is veterinarian Bob Harmon. He is the founder and CEO of the first U.S.-based veterinary stem cell company, VetStem. And I'm honored to also say that we're classmates of UC Davis School of Veterinary Medicine. We're going to be right back after this short break. Stay tuned.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Petco, where the pets go. Petco, where the pets go.
Pet Life Radio has tail-wagging, fur-flying, fabulous deals for our listeners from Petco. Get $6 off your order of $60 or more and up to 40% off the entire Petco site.
That's right.
But that's not all.
Because you're a Pet Life Radio listener, you'll also get free shipping on your order of $49 or more. $6 off, up to 40% off,
and free shipping
from Pet Life Radio and Petco. To get these awesome deals, go to PetcoDeals.com. That's PetcoDeals.com.
Petco, where the pets go.
I'm not much of a reader, but I do wish I were more well-read.
There are so many great books coming out. I wish I could find a way to keep up.
Audible.com makes it easy to stay well informed and catch up on your reading simply by listening. Audiobooks from Audible turn downtime into uptime. You'll be more productive and become well-read.
Now I'm able to catch up on all the great books I've been wanting to read.
With Audible, I feel smarter.
Pet Life Radio listeners, try Audible.com now and get your first 30 days of Audible Listener Gold Membership plan free. And get a free audiobook. Choose from over 100,000 titles. To get this great deal, go to audibledeals.com. That's audibledeals.com.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Bob, thank you so much for being with us. Okay, I have to admit, when you and I were in veterinary school, which wasn't that long ago, I don't really remember them ever talking about stem cells and helping people and the animals out. Where did this come from? How did you learn about all this stuff?
Yes, you're right. So don't tell anybody how long ago it was we were classmates. But even if we had been classmates last year and the last couple of years, there still is, it's just a new discipline. Some of this is in the last decade in terms of new information. And as my career path, I ended up helping both veterinary and human companies develop new products. And several of those companies were developing and now have on the market products for treating humans with burn wounds, and they were using stem cell technology. And it just fascinated me, but I didn't believe in my wildest closest to my imagination that I would actually be delivering cell-based therapies in veterinary medicine, and it just happened that the technology advanced enough, and we were offered the opportunity to license it for use in veterinary medicine. So it wasn't a career path. I didn't decide it, and we certainly weren't trained on that when we were in veterinary school. So this is new information, and veterinarians are just hearing about it. As you probably know, I spoke at the World Congress on Veterinary Dermatology, and several of our other classmates were there in the audience with amazement on their face that technology was reaching into dermatology and in areas of orthopedics. So it's new.
Good. So I didn't fall asleep during that whole quarter in veterinary school and missed all this information. Whew, I feel so much better about that.
No, not at all, Dr. Cruz.
All right. So, Dr. Harmon, what is a stem cell? We know we hear about stem cells. We think embryonic. Oh, my goodness. You know, poor fetuses, human, animal, otherwise being harvested for these cells. But that's not the only place where they are.
No, and that was the original work. And in fact, you know, a fellow veterinarian, Dr. Jimmy Thompson at Wisconsin, someone who discovered how to grow human embryonic stem cells. But the adult stem cell work has been going on quietly in the background for decades and decades. But only recently did we discover that everywhere in the body where there are blood vessels, which is anywhere, there are these adult stem cells, and they hang out around the blood vessels. So if you were to trip going out of the studio today and twist your ankle, your stem cells would go screaming to that inflamed area and help repair that. All of us have billions of stem cells located in all the tissues of our body, but they're most concentrated, interestingly enough, in your fat tissue. They're also in bone marrow. They're also in the skin. But the place where we found we can harvest large amounts of stem cells are in the fat tissue. And as you've probably done in many podcasts and in lectures at meetings, talked about, you know, the obesity problem in pets, they have a huge store of these stem cells that we can access easily and use them. We all carry around our own complement of these emergency repair cells every day, and that's how we repair ourselves for every kind of injury that goes on.
So these stem cells are marvelous, but how do they know? I know you've called them pluripotential, multipotential, you know, they can turn into anything. How do these cells know how to turn into a blood vessel or turn into tendon or help cartilage? Because these are all various areas. Like you're saying, I sprain my ankle, my stem cells come to my rescue.
So it's the most fascinating question and probably the most studied thing about stem cells, and we know now a huge amount about that. So these stem cells are very, very multi-purpose. You know, I'm from Oklahoma originally, and we'd say they're like baling wire and duct tape that you can sort of patch up anything. But when you look at how they function, they take their cue from the local injury. So it is very much like a paramedic. You know, they can fix lots of things, or a doc walking in a room. So when the paramedic arrives on the scene, you survey the situation, they see what got broken, they see what's the biggest emergency that needs to be repaired, and they talk to the local other tissues that are damaged and the cells that are damaged in an area. So if you take the stem cell and you put it in a joint that's got bad chronic arthritis, the signals there are, I've lost cartilage, I've got scar tissue, I've got all this inflammation, I need help. The exact same cell, if you put it in a kidney or in a heart, will measure and look at the injury in that tissue and say, no, I don't need to make cartilage. I need to make heart tissue, or I need to make liver, or I need to make kidney. So it's the local signals that literally give the information to the stem cell on what they need to do, and then they manage the repair. It wasn't what we thought about stem cells 10 years, 20 years ago. It's the most fascinating thing about the cell is how they really are multipotent, and they can deal with almost any injury in any kind of tissue.
So why is there all this controversy, and it seems as though this real push to work with embryonic stem cells when you have these adult cells in our bodies, and yes, we have way too much fat in our pets and in animals that we can harvest. Are stem cells really created equally? Do we need embryonic as well as adult?
Yeah, so we could argue all day long, and we could have a ethical, we could have a religious discussion, we could have a political discussion about embryonic stem cells, but let's confine our talk, Dr. Cruz, with about the science of them. So they're very powerful in that they can become any tissue of the body, because it's the basic cells on which that whole embryo, a whole organism, a little puppy or a person is built. But they're made to grow new organisms. So when you take that embryonic stem cell and you put it in a patient, which they've done experimentally, they make tumors, and they're rejected because it's not the same DNA as the patient you put them in. So although they're very powerful as a clinical tool for you and I as clinicians, they really don't work. And after 15 or 20 years of trying to sort that out, the scientists have not figured that out. So instead we look at, are there other sort of multi-purpose cells in other tissues that we can use in that same way? And the cells from bone marrow or from fat were originally thought only to make those specific tissues, like make fat or make connective tissue. Now we know, and we've done the research right here in our own lab, so I've seen it with my own eyes as well as all the published literature, that a cell from fat, this mesenchymal, they call them stem cell, or this multi-purpose stem cell, can make bone, cartilage, fat, heart, blood vessels, neurons. So if we had too many margaritas, you can replace some of those neurons. Or if you have a damage in your back, you can repair both the bone and the nervous tissue. So they're really quite multi-purpose, and that wasn't understood 10 years ago. So there's still a lot of momentum behind doing basic research in embryonic stem cells. But of the 200 companies in the U.S. that are working on bringing products to market for human and animal, there is one left that's working on embryonic stem cells because of all of these technical and FDA issues about safety. So almost everybody is working on some version of what we call an adult stem cell from cord blood, from fat, bone marrow, or other tissues.
What I find also fascinating is here's veterinary medicine, you as a veterinarian, working with a human company, taking what you're learning from one species, using it on another. Who's ahead of this research game right now? Who's further advanced, human medicine or veterinary medicine? Because I only know right now of stem cells being used clinically in veterinary medicine. Is that true, or are they using it in humans also?
A few places in humans already, but we are way ahead in terms of the global number of patients. Just VetStem, and we're only one of multiple companies in the world in veterinary that are working on this. Clients that we work with, like your practice, have treated more than 8,000 clinical patients. This is not research. These are real patients with real diseases. So we really are quite advanced in terms of the clinical knowledge. And as you know, I speak at human and veterinary meetings all over the world. And the human side, we get very good reception because they love the fact that we have real data from real patients. This is not mice and rats in some university laboratory. These are real patients, and what we learn about the safety and how these cells work helps us move along the process on the human side as well. And we work with numerous companies helping share our data, and there are companies we work with that are on the market in Europe, in Brazil, in Japan, and the first North American approval for treating bone marrow transplant rejection just got approved in Canada. So first one, big one in North America. So it's happening, but you're very right. We are, I think, ahead in terms of the clinical applications. So we share back and forth. There is a thing, if you remember, called One Medicine that we were taught that, you know, all species have this common physiology, and a lot of these products, and especially stem cells, work in all these species in a very similar way.
And you started your work, correct me if I'm wrong, with horses. Why did you first start working with horses for stem cell therapy?
I did. It was because I was an equestrian. So I'm a rider, and I've had horses with tendon and ligament injury, with arthritis. And so I looked at it and said, boy, if I want to start someplace that if we make a difference, boy, it could be expanded to other species, it's the horse. So we've treated more than 4,000 horses now all over the U.S., and everything from backyard horses to Olympic level horses, race horses to jumpers with these stem cells, again, using the patient's own stem cells. So this is patient heal thyself. we're just helping it along as veterinarians in our laboratory service so that those patients can be treated with their own stem cells. So there's no chance of rejection. You're just taking and moving more of those cells to where the injury is quicker to prevent scarring and the damage that occurs with chronic injuries. So the horses all over the U.S. have been treated. And after seeing we could actually help a horse, and as you know, a 1,000-pound animal putting all of its weight on, you know, one leg as it's running, you know, if we can repair those injuries, I thought we got to be able to fix injuries in dogs. And so we started working with some of my classmates and other veterinarians in small animal medicine to see if we would see the same thing. And, you know, we started really with the first dogs in 2008, even though we'd been doing horses since 2003.
And besides using it on dogs, I know people are now using it on cats. What are some of the species that so far VetStem has found some clinical applications helping animals?
It's a really good question. So we focused on horses, then we focused on dogs. It works spectacular in cats, but as you know, and you've probably done podcasts on that, a lot of owners don't realize that their cats aren't just getting old, they're actually in pain. So treating cats with arthritis, it works the same as in dogs. I wish we could get the word out so people would realize that, you know, that older cat that's a little bit overweight, they're really good candidates, and they aren't just slowing down. The reason they aren't jumping on the counter or jumping up on the couch anymore is that they're painful. So we've done the standard domestic species. We also have publications and have programs in treating marine mammals. So we've worked with dolphins and sea lions and have worked with skin wounds and other kinds of injuries in those critters. We've also worked with some big cats, so mountain lions and the Florida panther, which is an endangered species. We've done treatments there. And we get lots now of inquiries from the people in the zoos with hoofstalks, so the big, large mammals that have arthritis from being on concrete or in the zoos. So it's an exciting area. And all of these mammals, it looks like they have the same stem cells and they work in the same manner. So what we've learned in the horse and the dog can help other species as well. So it's an exciting time to see that all the species we touch as veterinarians, we potentially can help.
This is very exciting. I hope it's exciting enough that people want to listen. Stay tuned because we're going to have a short break. We're going to be right back to speak some more to Dr. Bob Harmon, CEO, founder of VetStem here in the United States. We'll be right back.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Introducing the new Brett Michaels Pets Rock Collection, exclusively at PetSmart. I created it for the pets that rock your world.
Shop the Brett Michaels Pets Rock Collection and celebrate PetSmart's 25th anniversary with up to 25% off thousands of items on the PetSmart site. Plus, free shipping on orders of $49 or more. Go to PetSmartDeal.com. That's PetSmartDeal.com. PetSmartDeal.com.
Love your pets but wish their medications were a lot less expensive? They are at 1-800-PetMeds. You'll not only save on flea and heartworm medications, but on prescriptions for arthritis, incontinence, thyroid, and more. And you get fast service, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, our licensed pharmacists ensure accuracy, monitor drug interaction, and more. See why over 5 million people have trusted their pet's health to 1-800-PetMeds, America's largest pet pharmacy. Call now or order online.
Go to PetMeds.com/doctor, D-O-C-T-O-R, to get 10% off any order and free shipping on orders of $39 or more at PetMeds.com.
Your groomer is going to hate me. Hi, I'm Allie McLennan. Join me for my Pet Life radio show, Groom for Improvement. You're going to save time and money with these tips from my New York City grooming table. From product recommendations to do's and don'ts, I am going to hook you up. So just do me a favor and don't mention this to your groomer. Groom for Improvement on Pet Life Radio.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and we'll see you now.
Dr. Harmon, this is just fascinating. So you're talking about using it for arthritis. You talked a little bit about some dermatological conditions that you're being treating, wounds, neurological problems, spinal cord injuries. What else? I read someplace in one of our journals you're using it in kidney disease, and I know that's one of the number one killer of older cats, kidney disease. How is it working? What is it doing?
Yeah, so we're early in the discovery and the use. There's a lot of data in the literature, but not very much clinically. So we started about 4 years ago working with specialists trying to treat cats that didn't have any other choice, that basically they were looking at a kidney transplant, which, you know, is pretty rare to do and very, very expensive, and started treating cats. So we collected data the last 4 years and have just summarized that from these what we call compassionate use cases, and found that cats that normally would have either died by now or had severe impairment and gone downhill with that degenerative disease in the kidneys actually had improved and not gone downhill, and more than 80% of them were still alive that we had treated. And we used those stem cells intravenously, meaning we put them in the blood, because the cells have to migrate and get to the kidney, the areas where the injuries are, and it's not so easy as it is in a joint just to stick them there. The cells have this ability to find their way to injured areas, so we put them in right onto the freeway, and they migrate down the freeway and end up in the kidneys. So it's an area we think in the next year or so that we're going to see a lot more use, and we're going to get some good studies. We have studies going right now at the Big Animal Medical Center in New York that will be published in peer-reviewed journals showing, we think, how these cells work. But essentially, any organ or disease process, we think, has the potential. We try to get good data to make sure we know it works so that we're not promoting something that we don't yet understand how it works. So we need to know that it works, and then veterinarians that work with us are given that information and then allowed to go out and tell owners that this is a new use.
And that's one of the real problems I know in human medicine is that placebo effect. You take, you know, X supplement, you take whatever, you go, oh, I feel so much better. And it's your mind that feels better necessarily, not necessarily your body that is improved. I've used stem cells in my own practice, couple different, very divergent cases. One was definitely an arthritic pet, and yes, it got better. It wasn't 100%, but found that it needed less of the non-steroidal anti-inflammatory medication, was moving around better. It was still the older dog. It still had its issues, but doing well. And then, because, thank you, you allowed me to use it in a compassionate care case for a skin issue, that a dog who otherwise had no chance because its body was recognizing the oil glands as being abnormal, foreign, and mounting immune response, and all its fur was falling out, and it was prone to infections. This little Australian Shepherd dog is just hands down so much improved, to the point where the specialist, who is also a classmate of ours, said, oh my goodness, I have never seen a response like this, didn't think it was possible, and we saw an improvement. It didn't seem overnight. What's the usual time frame of seeing a response?
It's a really good question, Dr. Cruz. And it depends on, obviously, the severity of the disease, which one we're talking about. But in areas of arthritis, which we have a huge amount of experience, we expect in somewhere between 1 month and 3 months is where you'll get the maximum response. And you're exactly right. We counsel both veterinarians and owners. This is not magic. And if there's lots and lots of damage, it takes time. They're not going to come back if they've got problems like hip dysplasia, where it's actually a conformation problem. It doesn't change the conformation, but it dramatically improves the pain, inflammation, and what we're really trying to do as veterinarians is improve the quality of life of an animal so it can get back to doing what they and the owner like to do, whether it's chasing a ball, jumping on the couch, or just walk into a mailbox. And, you know, you don't have to be a performance animal to have this kind of an improvement. But we really think that that's the approach. And really very important people understand is when you do the initial collection of the fat, and we process the stem cells here in San Diego, we do proper counts, and then we store the excess cells frozen for the life of the animal in liquid nitrogen. It's like being in suspended animation, so that a year or two from now, when that animal continues to age and they need more stem cells, there's no collection process or time. You, as the veterinarian, Dr. Cruz, then call and order the cells. We thaw them out, do the quality control, and ship them back. So the owner now has cells stored for the life of the animal and for future uses, because if we find out in the future we can use it in kidneys in dogs or livers in dogs, the cells are sitting there waiting to use, very much like a lot of your listeners would know of storing umbilical cord stem cells when they have a human baby. So we can do the same thing, store those cells, have them for the future, so use them now, use them in the future, and they stay there frozen, again, for the life of the animal.
And exactly what I've had it to use for this one little Australian Shepherd was doing so much better, started having a flare-up, started having issues again. So I called your office saying, hi, I need some more of these stem cells, and I believe it was like 2 to 3 weeks. Got a call, it's ready to go. And it was just so nice, because though the harvesting procedure is not difficult, it was nice not having to do it again. And you're mentioning something that's really great, and I'd like to have you talk about a little bit, that now when veterinarians spay that cat or dog or neuter it, they can actually just obtain a small amount of fat at that time, send it in, and have it stored in case you need it down the line.
You bet. And then you've stored the youngest cells from an animal when they were already having a procedure. They already had an anesthesia. And it's most common in a spay or a neuter, but they might be in there for an orthopedic procedure and an elective procedure. And so you just grab that fat, it goes in the same tube, the same box, here to San Diego, and we just store it for the future. It's called Stem Ensure, and it allows you for a much cheaper cost to be able to just store those right now. And they're not ready to use. We have to grow them later so you have enough of them for doses. But we wanted it to be as cheap as possible so that during another procedure, you could just grab those cells and then they'll be there in the future. And you know, that we actually stole the idea again from human medicine, because they do that with umbilical cord cells. Well, they don't have very many things to use them for yet. We have a lot of things we can use them for, and very proven things like these orthopedic issues and others. So, you know, we think it's going to be great. We just need to make sure owners know it's there, and any veterinarian can do this. We have a training program, online credentialing program, where veterinarians learn about stem cells. So if they're older veterinarians like you and I, and they didn't get anything on stem cells, they can get a full training online on what stem cells are, how to use them, how to explain it, what's the best way to use them. And so, you know, your veterinarian can learn this, or you can go to a specialist or a general practitioner in the area who's already trained. And it's your choice as an owner whether you want to go to somebody already that's trained, or encourage your veterinarian to come take the training course from VetStem, and then they can get trained. You know, it's just part of now veterinary medicine.
And the administration is not hard. You're saying it can be given intravenously. That's something any veterinarian can do. When I was having to treat Nikki in particular, and that was being done multiple times intravenously, we just go ahead, pop a little catheter in, so I knew that this little tube is right in the vein. Owner and I would sit on the floor, give a little injection, chat a little bit, give a little bit more. The pup did wonderfully, just kind of sat there going, huh, this is boring, whatever. But you brought up something that's really important, Dr. Harmon, cost. Some people are listening to this going, oh my goodness, this must be thousands and thousands of dollars. I can't afford this. I just have an everyday dog or cat at home. What's the approximate fee for something like this?
So it's really a good question. And one of the biggest problems is, I'll point out, Dr. Cruz, is you and I, as veterinarians, we tend to look at things and kind of judge, oh, that's kind of expensive. So I've spoken to, I'll bet you, 50 owner groups, both horses and small animal, both cat and dog groups. And I always ask the question as I'm going through talking about stem, so what do you guys think this will cost? And after they hear the high-tech use, it's real stem cells and what it can do, the average cost that owners tell me they think it should cost is probably $10,000 or $15,000. And that's when they look and they go, oh, God, I probably can't afford this. And the real cost to the owner is somewhere between $2,000 and $3,000, most often about $2,500. Pet insurance does cover it if you have pet insurance, and there are some that you can get that will cover even certain pre-existing conditions. You have to look carefully at your policy. But if you'll ask your veterinarian, most of the pet insurance companies will cover that. Also, as most of your clients would know, Dr. Cruz, you can use healthcare credit or one of the payment plans for that as well. And when you get retreated, so if your dog comes back in 2 or 3 years and they have a new condition or need to be retreated, it will be about a third that cost. So it'll be well less than $1,000, more like $500 to $600 to get your dog retreated with their own cells that are in the storage bank here.
So cost effective. And you're saying sometimes they'll come back in 2 or 3 years, either a new problem or need to be treated. Does that seem to be the typical length of time that you find that, for instance, a pet with arthritis, maybe one of the most common reasons why you're using stem cells, is that
it
the
is.
Typical length of time they're coming back saying, oh, I'm getting ouchy again, I need more medication or more stem cells?
Yeah, it's a great question. So more than 50% of all the dogs that have been treated will go past a year and a half before they need any treatment. So we have some that surprise me. I look at them and I know they had pretty serious arthritis that are 3 or 4 or 5 years out that still aren't being retreated. But there are other ones that would come back because they had a more severe arthritis or they've got a conformation problem or they have a tough job. You know, one of the police dogs, they're a agility dog. So they're constantly pounding on that joint and they get back to work. They might come in a year or year and a half and get retreated. There are also a small percentage of dogs that we don't know why they're one of those kind that don't heal well, and they won't have a negative reaction, and we should probably talk about adverse reactions a little bit to make sure we allay people's fears, but there's a small percent of dogs that don't respond, and that's true with any therapy that we provide, whether it's drugs, whether it's surgeries. Not all animals respond, but there are a small percent, so there is a chance that you could go through this procedure and your dog not respond. We then would probably retreat or maybe with a larger dose to try to figure out whether this dog just doesn't heal. He's got maybe defective cells and doesn't heal well or not. But the majority, so greater than 75% of these animals, will have a pretty profound response that you as the veterinarian will look at and the owner will look at and go, wow, I really improved the quality of life of my animal.
And you brought up something I think that's very important too. For the number of cases that I have used stem cells with, I have not seen in the pets I've treated any adverse side effects, things going wrong. But as you said, nothing's 100%. What are some of the potential side effects that may not be what we want to see?
Yes, it's a really good question, because with any therapy, what are we trained in school? Above all else, do no harm, so don't damage. So we spend an incredible amount of time looking at these cells and the types. Even though it's the animal's own cells, we still wanted to make sure. So we've done studies trying to look at that and make sure. So now after some, you know, more than 15,000 injections and more than 8,000 animals over a long period of time, we get something less than 0.1% that have what we call an adverse event. And that's what FDA would call an adverse event, which is where if you injected an animal and the owner said, this is something I didn't expect. For example, in arthritis, you might see the joint get swollen for a day or two. The animal is itching or scratching at that spot, and you know that's something you wouldn't expect because it's their own cells. We don't know for sure why, and it might just be the injection where you're putting a needle into the joint or you're putting cells in a tissue where you're having to put a needle in there. But no deaths, no serious adverse events in all of these animals we've treated, because again, it's not adulterated with anything. This is their own cells. We've just taken the fat out. We get rid of the fat, concentrate the stem cells, put it in some saline, and send it back to put back into the animal. So we didn't expect that to be a problem, but we do on occasion. An animal is sore a day or two after, and then they get over that. But in comparison to the drugs that we use, and I'm a veterinarian, and I know there's a lot of drugs that do a lot of good, and the NSAIDs, the pain drugs, and the other more serious pain drugs all do good for animals, but they have some very serious side effects, particularly if you use them wrong, and animals can die, they can get ulcers, they can get other liver problems, which is why we have them come in and get their liver examined. That's a huge advantage for stem cells, particularly using the patient's own, because the risk of side effect is so low, because again, you're putting back their own cells.
What I really like about VetStem, besides the research that you put into this, is your quality control. Because I know there are other companies that are out there in veterinary medicine in particular that promote the fact that, oh, you don't have to collect these cells, collect the fat, send it someplace else, you know, so they can do their magic on it, send it back to you. No, you can do all of this in office. So makes it a lot more cost effective. I'd love to have you, if you can, compare and contrast some of the concerns of in hospital types of procedures versus sending it out, and why we would want to send it to someone such as VetStem to have the fat processed?
Great questions. When we get asked a lot, and I want to see animals get treated with stem cells, whatever the safest way is. So I think it's really important that people have access to it. We spent 3 years and many six-figure amounts of good American dollars trying to develop a system that could be in the clinic, and we decided in the end we dropped the license we had for a human system that would do that because it was too expensive and still wasn't safe. So in a clinic, you don't have a sterile room for processing cells. You have a surgery room, but in trying to process when you're concentrating these cells, it's critical there's no contamination whatsoever. So we made the decision to have a central lab where we can control the sterility. We have sterile hoods. You can go to our website and see actually a tour of what the lab looks like. And it's like an FDA type of cell processing facility, so you know you get those back. But maybe most importantly, you need a very expensive piece of equipment to count the cells. So when we get the fat out, there's a variable number of stem cells in there. As you might guess, each animal's a little different. And you need to know the dose. Just like with every drug that we use, it says there's so many milligrams per milliliter of an NSAID drug. And so you measure out the proper amount of drug. So to dose an animal properly and to know how much to save for the future, you can't do that in the clinic. You can't use your cell counters that you use for blood counts, and it's very expensive equipment. So we believe those two things make it just impossible to do safely and responsibly in a clinic. So we've continued to maintain the sense that you need to send it off. It comes back within 48 hours, and the animal gets to go home after the original collection, recover from the anesthesia, and then comes back in and gets a simple injection. And you know then for sure how many stem cells, how many cells are in the syringe, and you know for sure the cells we have banked here have the right amount of cells in those little frozen vials so when you go to use them in the future. So although we'd love to have it in the clinic, you do not want that owner to come back to you. Like that little dog with the skin problem, the Australian Shepherd, that dog came back to you in 6 months or a year and you needed to retreat, and you had to tell that owner, well, we couldn't bank the cells or get the dosing right, so we need to do another surgery. The owners are not going to be very happy because now you've got two surgeries, you put the animal at risk again, plus the pain they go through. You know, it's just not necessary. If you send it off, you can get a proper cell count, proper dosing, and the cells bank for the future with the right number of cells in there. So then when you come back in 6 months or a year or 5 years, you know you can pull those out with security that they're clean, they're sterile, and you know the number of cells, so you got your dose right. So I feel very strongly about that, as you can tell. And we've tried, and we're still looking at ways we could have potential for an in-clinic system, but the technology and the safety is not there, we don't believe, to do that in the clinic today.
Well, Dr. Harmon, this has just really been exciting. I can hear it in your voice. This is a area of veterinary medicine and human medicine that holds so much potential for treating so many things. Who knows? It may be our fountain of youth, or at least our fountain of well-being ongoing, and maybe get rid of many of the medications, drugs, and adverse side effects for other things, and we can just rely on our own bodies to cure ourselves. So my guest today has been Dr. Bob Harmon. He is founder and CEO of the first U.S.-based veterinary stem cell company in the United States, VetStem. Dr. Harmon, thank you so much for being my guest today.
Sure, Dr. Cruz. Really enjoyed it. Thanks.
Great. Well, please listen again next week to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. We'll have more information on how to make you the best possible pet owner. So thanks again for listening. Take care.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.